The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, Shavua Tov, how are you?
Boker Tov, Shavua Tov, so much going on, so much good sport. The Winter Olympics, the controversial Winter Olympics in China, there was cricket, there was tennis, there's been so much action going on. But one of the things that we didn't have a chance to talk about last week, and I just wanted to raise very, very briefly now, was Holocaust Remembrance Day, which of course took place on Thursday last week. And this is the international community, UN-sponsored Holocaust Remembrance Day, which is different from the Holocaust Remembrance Day that we have in Israel. The date last week is the date that marks the liberation of the Auschwitz extermination camp. That's why it was chosen by the international community to be Holocaust Remembrance Day. Of course, the day in Israel that we mark as Holocaust Remembrance Day in the week after Pesach, the week after the end of Pesach, is actually a date which coincides more or less with the Warsaw Ghetto Uprising. And so very, very different angles to Holocaust remembrance. On the one hand, the international community liberating Auschwitz eventually, as opposed to Jewish uprising from inside, and the two different dates that are marked, both of which we welcome. No criticisms at all in terms of the date that's chosen. And just to show that, Knesset Speaker Mickey Levy was actually in Germany, was in Berlin, and addressing the Bundestag, the German parliament, as part of Holocaust commemoration ceremony to mark the day. He is actually the first top Israeli official to meet with the new German Chancellor, Olaf Scholz. But out of everything that captured my attention about Mickey Levy's address to the Bundestag, I just could not be drawn away from him reciting the mourner's prayer in the German parliament, the Kaddish. He stood there, he was very emotional, and recited Kaddish to the German parliament. And for people who haven't seen it, it's worth trying to get a YouTube video and watching it. And that definitely captured my attention. And it's still one of those things that I find difficult to conceive, that the Speaker of the Knesset can go to the Bundestag and say Kaddish in front of the German parliamentarians. Certainly a moment to remember.
It's just absolutely incredible. And I think it was Herzog yesterday who said Kaddish in the UAE for his mother. You know,
right. That's... I was going to definitely draw that in, because we're going to talk about President Bougie Herzog's visit to the United Arab Emirates. And yes, he's sporting a beard. Of course, he's still in the mourner's period following the death of his mother. And he was meeting with members of the Jewish community in Abu Dhabi. And he then said to them, he's going to say Kaddish for his mother. Please, would everybody answer Amen, which they did. A moment as well, which we can definitely remember.
All right, tell us about his visit to the UAE.
So the first thing which is kind of captured the press attention is less about his visit and more about the fact that there's been this Houthi missile that was intercepted over Abu Dhabi just as President Bougie Herzog was visiting the UAE. And his office came out immediately to say that his visit would progress as planned, that there would be no change to the agenda or to the schedule. It's not exactly clear whether there's any link between this attack by Houthis over Abu Dhabi and the visit by the Israeli president, the very, very first visit by any Israeli president to the United Arab Emirates. But they decided that things would go ahead as usual. Fortunately, the air defense systems in the UAE were able to intercept this ballistic missile, no less, that was fired towards Abu Dhabi from the Houthis in Yemen. And of course, Iran's DNA all over this. So we already know how the Iranians like to operate. They have no qualms about funding, financing, arming renegade groups, organized armies, call them what you wish, terror organizations, who don't mind firing missiles right in amongst civilian population. It's just inconceivable that they can do that. And whereas, you know, we had the experience for some time to be the only country in the world to have to endure such attacks when Hamas and other groups from Gaza continue to fire missiles in towards Israel. Now the Houthis from Yemen are doing the same towards Abu Dhabi, but it hasn't dampened the enthusiasm and the amazing atmosphere that surrounds President Isaac Herzog's visit to Abu Dhabi. He's been extremely busy. Another moving moment indeed was when we heard Atikva being played at the Royal Palace in Abu Dhabi. He was welcomed there by the Crown Prince. And when Atikva was played, it kind of took me back a little bit to when his father, the late Chaim Herzog, as president, visited Germany for the very first time and heard Atikva played. And for those people who might have read the late President Chaim Herzog's book, they would know that that was definitely a significant moment in his life to hear Atikva being played in Germany when he visited there as President of Israel, somebody who had, of course, survived the period of the Shoah and also couldn't imagine such an event taking place. But it seems as if though President Buji Herzog has been very much welcomed in Abu Dhabi. Official talks with the ruling leaders, as well as meetings with the Jewish community in Abu Dhabi. And of course, he is due to go on to Dubai and of course open Israel Day in Dubai. What's interesting as well is that in his route towards Abu Dhabi, the president's plane was given the right to fly over Saudi airspace. Now, this has conjured up all kinds of other issues, because also over the weekend was a breaking story that the Saudi Arabian government was given official permission by former Prime Minister Netanyahu to use NSO's Pegasus software, which is the spy software that can be loaded on people's phones. They were apparently given official permission to extend the license of the use for Pegasus software, in return for which the Saudi Arabian government allowed Israeli flights over Saudi airspace, through Saudi airspace. So it just kind of makes one wonder what really is going on in the background. But be that as it may, President Herzog has been meeting with Sheikh Mohammed bin Zayed. He has also met with the Jewish community in Abu Dhabi. We've heard Hatikva. We've heard him say Kaddish in memory of his late mother. And of course, he made a very nice speech where he mentioned the development of and the peaceful coexistence of the two nations, the Emiratis and the Israelis. And he went on to say that these are two successful nations who essentially started with nothing in their hands and have succeeded in developing their lands into very successful paradises. That's the word he used in many ways, and have set an example to the world. So, you know, in many ways, even though we've had this a conflict situation, lack of diplomatic relations for so long, is seemingly a lot in common between Israel and the United Arab Emirates.
Absolutely wonderful. Really just phenomenal footage coming out of the region. Israel Teachers Union has reached an agreement with the Ministry of Education over corona provisions in schools. Well, that's good news.
It is good news, and it sort of feels a little bit like a storm in a teacup, because as I mentioned last week, when the new provisions were implemented on Thursday, there was a lot of opposition, particularly coming from the Ministry of Health of all sources, who felt that allowing children to go to school, having come into contact with people who have corona and not being vaccinated, is not a good thing. And they would have preferred to have seen children stay home under those circumstances, which was the old rule. The old rule was, if you've been vaccinated and you've come into contact with somebody but you've tested negative, you're good to go. If you have not been vaccinated and you come into contact with somebody, even if you test negative, you're not good to go. So it's really all about the vaccination. And now the rules have been relaxed even further to say, even if you haven't been vaccinated and you have come into contact with somebody, as long as you continue to test negative, you're good to go and good to go to school. And so what's happening now is the twice weekly system of testing students has begun. It's still a relatively slow start. test kits haven't been distributed to everybody who requires them, and even those with test kits have not necessarily used them or have not necessarily reported back on the results of those tests, which are supposed to be done twice a week. But part of the agreement between the teachers' union and the Ministry of Education, which is hell-bent on sending children to school almost at any price, and I say almost very cautiously here, because they really do want to get the education system back operating, and one can truly understand that. The teachers' union, of course, very concerned that this would potentially expose teachers in the schooling system to unnecessary risk. The fact that children might come along who ought not to be in a public space because they might be carriers of corona, and then who might well end up infecting teachers, some of whom are elderly or perhaps at high risk, and therefore might expose teachers to undue unnecessary risk. And so what the Ministry of Education has decided to do is to distribute test kits, home test kits, to all teachers as well. And even though the teachers might not necessarily be required to do the tests in the same way as the children are, the school pupils are expected to, but at least they have the wherewithal, they have the tools available to them to be able to test themselves in the event that they feel concerned. And of course, you know, talking about mask wearing, which was the discussion that you had last week, and some people were responding to it. The common requirement in Israel is for people to have to wear masks in schools, in public areas, wherever you go. It is a requirement to wear masks. The usual disposable masks, the non-N95 variety, are perfectly acceptable. We are being given advice that those masks do work. They are effective. And in fact, you know, one has to also look at them in terms of the medical system, because it's my understanding, and doctors and medical people out there might correct me if I'm wrong, but it's my understanding that those same disposable masks are ones that get used in operating theaters and medical facilities. And so one has to understand, I assume, I do at least, that there's some science behind that, that doctors wouldn't have been wearing those for years and years and years if they hadn't had some sort of a basis, some sort of a scientific basis. Of course, they have to be worn correctly. I mean, we see so many people wearing them, covering their chins rather than their mouths and their noses.
Yeah, and in fact, they don't work then.
Yeah, and Howard, I'm very much with you that I miss seeing people's faces. I know that you can smile with your eyes, and we do try to do that here, but I do miss seeing people's faces. But I can tell you that when we go, for example, into public spaces, like into an elevator, a lift in a building, and you get in with a whole lot of other people, strangers, people that you don't know, but maybe even people you do know, there is definitely a sense of disquiet about being in that enclosed environment. Absolutely. If people are not wearing masks. I've seen more than one occasion people step out of the lift if people are not wearing masks, feeling uncomfortable with being there. And I think that that's fully within their rights. And I think we need to remember that the mask is not only about doing it benevolently in order to protect somebody else, but it also has an impact on yourself as well. So masks at the moment are definitely still in schools, even though they are not being correctly worn and they're not being pedantically enforced, but masks are definitely still in. So it seems as if though our school system is open, at least for now. Our R number has apparently reduced below one, which means that we're coming off the peak of our wave. So I think we can see the end of this particular wave, which has been pretty dramatic. I mean, you know, to put it in very, very understated tones, it's been very, very dramatic. More than 80,000 people a day being diagnosed. We're coming off those numbers now, thankfully.
In fact, I just see a news update. Esther Pollard, who dedicated her life to supporting her husband, Israel agent Jonathan Pollard, has just passed away as a result of COVID-19.
So unfortunately, Esther Pollard, I did see earlier over the weekend that she'd been admitted to hospital. Let's remember that she had also been treated for breast cancer. She was a fairly unwell person and in a very high risk category. So I am sorry to hear about that breaking news. But again, unfortunately, COVID has been indiscriminate in the way that it's attacked people.
Anthony Reich, it's 8:01. Thank you. As always, we'll catch you tomorrow morning at 7:45. I'm Howard Feldman. Good morning.